Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman with you live from Vanderbilt Health Football Center. Titans back on the practice field this morning. Parker Kelly is back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Titans gearing up for week two of the preseason. Seattle comes to town later this week. Joint practice with the Seahawks on Friday. Preseason game number two on Sunday. Parker, what's going on? How was your weekend?
It was great. Really relaxing. Tried to stay indoors as much as possible.
Yeah.
So we had Icemageddon in the winter. I don't know what the term would be for this massive heat wave that we had, but
yeah.
On practice on Saturday, I didn't know if it would be appropriate to show up in a swimsuit or not, but I felt like I was going to melt.
I know. I saw the video of you out here, and I was like, man, I do not envy Parker right now. Especially they moved that back because of the travel back from the West Coast. But it was 2:30, 2 o'clock was when practice started?
Yeah, so it was originally supposed to be around 10:45. Usually the Titans are really good about getting practice done in the morning.
Right.
But they moved that thing back to 2:30, and like everybody in the media was like, this can't be real.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hottest point in the day. Saturday, I'm not sure if Saturday was hotter than yesterday, but heat index, once it gets over, 105 or whatever it's been the last couple of days, I feel like it all starts to feel the same, like you're trapped in a volcano. It at least is not that hot right now. I'm sure it's going to change before the day is up, but practice will be getting going in just over an hour here. It is open to the fans, so we will give you updates throughout the show as they come in. It is a Reaction Monday brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Parker, you were out here for practice on Saturday, and we spent most of Friday's show talking about the poor performance from Cam Ward in the preseason opener out there in Santa Clara. Seemed like it was a bounce back day for Cam Ward and the Titans offense on Saturday, which was much needed.
Yeah, three straight touchdown passes in the red zone, two to Carnell Tate, and I think one to Alec Aomanor. And then during the team portion, which was towards the end of practice, the first drive, it literally only took two plays. One pass to Alec Aomanor, and then he beat the defense on a busted coverage on the second play. And Cam Ward didn't even throw a great ball or anything, but you don't really have to when there was nobody within 10 yards of him. Just a complete bust in coverage, and Alec Aomanor took it to the house. Two plays was all it took. Two touchdown passes for Cam Ward during that period, and I know it wasn't open to the media, but the people who were out there, you know, putting on social media after the fact, I think everybody was a little relieved considering how the performance was Thursday night in Santa Clara, that Cam Ward had a good day, and to be honest, he really needed it.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about people riding the wave of training camp in the offseason of every good day for Cam Ward, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, and every bad day for Cam Ward, he may not start week one, right? It's like you ride the wave. It's just going to go back and forth. It's good to see he had a bounce back day. I think that needs to continue into this week. You got practice today, practice Wednesday, leading up to that joint practice with Seattle on Friday. I think what disappointed a lot of Titans fans is Cam Ward was starting to tick upward last week in the stadium scrimmage, then on practice Sunday. And then you got to go up against a different team, and you saw a lot of that progress slip away. The joint practice was up and down, and then a tough performance on Thursday night in the first preseason game. So I think that's disappointing to see that maybe the Titans, and we'll get into the Titans secondary, maybe it's the Titans defense that he's having a lot of success against and can't really do it against other teams. Seattle is the Super Bowl champions. They've got tons of talent up and down that lineup. I mean, you look at Leonard Williams, maybe the best defensive tackle in the league, right up there with Jeffrey Simmons. He was number one in ESPN's poll this year. You got Ernest Jones in the second level, who everybody knows from his time here in Nashville. Devin Witherspoon, now the highest paid cornerback in the league. Nicky Manwori, although I don't know if he's going to be healthy. I've seen that he's kind of been in and out. But it's a loaded defense that's going to be coming in here for a joint practice. And in the preseason on Sunday, you'd like to see Cam Ward show some of the flashes he's shown against the Titans defense against somebody else, especially a talented group like Seattle.
He's going to have to do it at some point, because I'm going to take a line out of Connor's notebook, but I'm kind of getting a little, I don't know, tired, fatigued of talking about how good Cam Ward has been doing in practice. I'd like to see it in a game-type scenario, and for all intents and purposes, Seattle has a better defense than San Francisco does. Plus,
yeah,
outside of Nick Amonwori, they're pretty much healthy for the most part.
Right.
I'd imagine they're going to play their starters at least for a couple of series, maybe one. But I'd like to see Cam Ward carry over what he's been able to do in practice, because he has looked good in practice the last 2 weeks. But that preseason game was very much an outlier. So I'd like to see him carry what he's done in the practice field to a game-type feel.
Right. And that's where training camp is so funny, because, again, we look forward to it all summer long of finally there's something to talk about. There's more data points for all of these players, and we get to watch practice and learn more about this team. But by the time you get to this point in mid-August, it's like, man, can we just have real football that actually matters to talk about? Because it is tough to make any kind of conclusions based off practice and, of course, in the preseason game, who's playing and what are they trying to work on? What's the script? How much game planning are they doing? There's so much that goes into it that you don't have to worry about when it's a real game and both teams are just doing whatever it takes to win. So I'm with you. I'm ready for some real football, but of course, we've still got 4 weeks until that opener against the Jets, and lots going to happen between then and now and then. Seattle coming to town again this weekend, so today and Wednesday going to be important days for the Titans to build up and get ready for the Super Bowl champs. I just thought about it, Parker. I don't know how I didn't put two and two together, but we're going to get a nice behind-the-scenes look of the joint practice on Friday when Hard Knocks comes out next week, next Tuesday, so that'll be fun to see, that we'll get a little bit of the on-field back and forth, what is Mike McDonald saying, all that kind of stuff that'll come out on Hard Knocks next week.
That'll be cool. And we might even be featured in Hard Knocks. You know, there might be a little cameo appearance of the both of us. You know, 102.5 getting some representation.
Maybe if there's like a low angle shot looking up towards the balcony where we're sitting, maybe you can see the top of my head or something like that. I know you and Connor made an appearance on McAfee last week, so anything's possible.
I know. It was a short still, but nonetheless, we were featured. Felt pretty good.
Quick tangent here. Have you listened to the McAfee album yet?
I've listened to bits and pieces, but
me
no.
Too. I have not been able to. I don't know if I even ever want to get through the whole thing. I just think it's been hilarious seeing, like, Dan Orlovsky putting out there how great the album is, and I listened to a song or two, and I was like, all right, the people are just lying through their teeth right now. I mean, he sounds better than maybe I anticipated he would. I'm sure there's some auto tune and some post-production magic going on there, but I thought it was hilarious, all these people talking about the great lines and how good of a singer Pat McAfee is. I'm like, all right, you guys are just making stuff up now.
It's okay, just because he's your colleague at ESPN,
right?
And when you are as successful as Pat McAfee is, that affords you the opportunities to do different things. And because people, there are, you know, he's a polarizing figure. But
as he says in the album.
You're right. That's what's the name of the album?
Diary of a Polarizing Figure.
Well, there are a lot of people that like him, so there are going to be people that say that. But when he released Dookie, I remember listening to it. I'm like, eh.
What is Dookie?
Yeah, I don't know what Dookie means, but I really like the line where he's like, we're all the way in Eugene. I like that part, but other than that, eh.
Yeah, I got to say, Pat McAfee will not be on my Spotify rap this year. I can promise you that. I listened to, I think, a song and a half, and I was like, meh, I don't need to continue to do this.
He did record in Nashville, I was told.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I mean, I guess that makes sense.
I don't know if it was the whole album he recorded here, but he wrote with some people in Nashville, recorded a little bit in Nashville.
That makes sense. I mean, I'm sure he's here a decent amount, and Indianapolis isn't too far. Dustin in Hopkinsville says, is Bits and Pieces the name of one of the songs, or literally Bits and Pieces of the album? Bits and Pieces of the album. I don't think that's one of the songs, but I couldn't tell you that for sure. I probably listened to a song and a half on Friday night, and I was like, that's enough for me. Don't need to hear anything else. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joey from Gallatin says, headed to training camp with my dad. Let's go. We are excited to have the fans out here. It makes things easier for us, Parker, because at least when the fans are out here, I can react a little bit to what's going on the field. Like, obviously can't give everything that's going on, but when the fans aren't out here, I just have to wait. And usually the show's over before practice even ends, so I don't even get to react to any of it until the next day. So it is nice when fans are out here. We can actually tell you a little bit about what's going on, which will be fun.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting, and you know, hopefully Cam Ward's able to stack another day. And big week this week with Seattle coming to town. It'll be a really good test for him, but man, I am excited for that joint practice on Friday.
Yes, that will be fun on Friday. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We are going to get into the secondary coming up next, because we spent most of Friday, as expected, talking about Cam Ward and his struggles on Thursday. But maybe more concerning is the way the starting secondary played against the backups for San Francisco. So we'll get into that coming up next. Also, some injuries for the Titans. Jalen Harrell, Jaron Kanick, both out for the season. We'll talk about those two players. Who maybe steps into those guys' roles who are expected to be depth players on the 53? All of that coming up here in hour number one. Live from Titans training camp today. Practice gets going in just over an hour. We'll have updates throughout the day. Coverage of training camp is presented by Tennessee Brewworks, Parman Energy, the Music City Kickoff Game, Twin Peaks Restaurants, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Reaction Monday. Next man up, 1-2-5 the game.
I don't want to use the word panic, but maybe concerned. Or do you think that there could be a better performance by them?
Well,
specifically.
Yeah, you know, it's just continuing the rep what we're asking him to accomplish, understanding formations. You know, you're not game planning, so you're not really recognizing formations, recognizing tendencies as we go. But at the same time, just from a man coverage standpoint, being able to win your one-on-ones when those one-on-ones are presented, there's never panic. But is there urgency? There's always urgency from the second we stepped on the football field till the day the season's over. There's going to be urgency to try to get better.
As of late, would you say the urgency needs to...
If you're waiting till now to pick up your urgency, you're already late. So our guys have been working relentlessly. I know we do drills every week, every day. It's just taking the drill work to the practice field, from indo to the teamwork to game day, and just trying to find ways to hone in on your craft.
That was Robert Saleh on Saturday talking about the poor performance from his secondary on Thursday in San Francisco. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 the game. Is that Dookie?
That is Dookie.
I got to say, I've never heard that. I may go back and listen to his original to really understand the new album that came out from Pat McAfee. Anyway, Robert Saleh saying there's a sense of urgency with the starting secondary. I do think on paper, when you looked at this team, you said, yeah, that starting secondary with the investment they've put into it and what we've heard about those players, there's a lot of excitement. Imani Hooker coming off a down year, but we've seen him be successful at the NFL level for the Titans over the past seven seasons. With Alante Taylor and Cordell Flott, you sign those guys to over $100 million worth of total money this offseason in free agency. You expect that they're going to be starting caliber corners. And then the young guys, Kevin Winston, Marcus Harris. I mean, I've really only heard rave reviews about them throughout the offseason. I don't know about you, Parker, but when TD comes on with us and we asked him, who do you think is going to step up this year among the young guys? Kevin Winston was always one of his answers. We've heard the coaching staff rave about Marcus Harris as one of the prototypical guys that they like to use in the nickel. It sounds good on paper, but the first real look we saw about the secondary on Thursday night in Santa Clara, I know they weren't game planning, but you're facing Curtis Rourke, Deshaun Stribling, and a bunch of guys that I've never heard of before, and Cordell Flott's given up six catches on six targets for 74 yards also a pass interference penalty. Didn't look good on Thursday night, but how concerned are you about this starting secondary heading towards the new season?
I am concerned. I'm not concerned about Kevin Winston because I think he has the highest upside of anybody in that secondary. I mean, if he didn't have the injury during his last few seasons at Penn State, that's a first round pick. So I believe he has the upside there, and that's great value for the Titans getting him in the third round. Not really concerned about Alante Taylor, but Cordell Flott again in practice, he was the guy that gave up the long touchdown to Alec Ayomanor, and honestly he didn't have a great day on Saturday. And then Marcus Harris, I am also high on Marcus Harris, but I just cannot get out of my head the fact that he didn't wrap up on Thursday night versus the 49ers, that's something that's kind of been in the back of my mind. When you're constantly thudding and you're not bringing to the ground, I wonder for, you know, guys like outside of Jeffrey Simmons and John Franklin Myers, does that hurt the fact when they have to tackle in a game?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. And with the starting secondary, I agree with you. Like, Marcus Harris, sixth-round pick from last year, who showed some promise last season. But I think that was also a spot that we expected them to upgrade or at least add some competition to. You can't say, like, when we talk about the offensive line, we talk about there really wasn't any significant investment this offseason in the offensive line. You can't say that about the secondary. Again, they signed two guys to big deals in free agency with Taylor and Flott. But I did expect them to add more young talent there, and I think what we've seen so far, it's pretty clear. Even if Cordell Flott, which I would expect Cordell Flott is going to look better than he did on Thursday night, and that may seem counterintuitive because the talent level's only going to go up, but he's coming off his best season as a pro in New York. I think that is probably more of an outlier than what we're going to see in the season. That doesn't mean he's going to be an all-pro level player. I don't think that's what you can expect from Cordell Flott. He's a Band-Aid, and I think he's somebody that you hope is going to play competent enough quarterback or cornerback for you for the next couple of years so that you can draft guys who eventually step into those roles and replace them and can be higher ceiling players. I think Cordell Flott's going to be better than what we saw on Thursday night, but I also don't think that he's going to be a guy that you look back and say, man, what a steal with that deal, 3 years, $45 million. I think at this point you're just hoping that he's not a liability out there.
I definitely do not view Cordell Flott as a future piece, a future building foundational piece for this team. Alante Taylor, he's in his prime right now, but I don't know how much longer he has in his prime. I view both of them when they signed them as Band-Aids because you're not building a foundation of a team through free agency. You build it through the draft. And, you know, guys like Kevin Winston and Marcus Harris, I view them both as having the potential to be foundational pieces within the secondary. But
yeah.
You're getting guys like Alante Taylor and Cordell Flott to elevate the floor of the roster so that when the time comes and you need to draft and develop guys, you can do that in future drafts. That's how I've always kind of viewed it, especially with the deals that they signed. Just because you signed them, what, Alante Taylor was a four-year deal?
Three-year deal.
Both were three. Right. So I view both of these guys as bridges until you can draft corners to develop.
Yeah, and by signing those deals, it allowed you to not have cornerback being a top-of-the-list red flag need. Because if you remember the end of last year, cornerback was probably the weakest position on this team, and that's saying a lot on a 3-14 team. It was horrible. There were guys that you'd never heard of who were taking snaps and starting in those final couple of games of the year. You had to address cornerback. By signing Flott and signing Taylor, it allows you to use your draft picks elsewhere. It allows you to take Carnell Tate instead of maybe, oh, man, who's going to start a cornerback if we don't take Monsieur Delane here or whoever it ended up being. With your second pick, Keldrick Falk, you can take him instead of being forced to go get a cornerback. Taylor and Flott were necessary pickups this offseason. You had to go out there and get starting cornerbacks. That doesn't mean they're going to be superstars. I think Taylor has shown a decent amount in practice that makes you think that he's going to be a solid player this year. I mean, the battles between him and Carnell Tate have been fun to watch. Of course, Tate has gotten his, and those ones are more viral, right? Like, you see more of them. They get more run because it's the fourth overall pick having a big play, and you might look and say, oh, man, he got Taylor there. But there's been plenty of times where Alante Taylor's gone up and made a play on the football in a one-on-one opportunity with Carnell Tate. So I'm less worried about Taylor, even though he did have a couple times where his man was probably a little more open than you would have liked on Thursday night in San Francisco. Flott, I think, is the one that concerns you a little bit more, considering that last year was his best year as a pro, but before that, it was kind of up and down for him, and it really did not look good back on Thursday night when he was matched up with Deshaun Stribling.
No, not at all, and his performance on Saturday, I'd say it was Cam Ward and Cordell Flott, two of the guys that absolutely needed to have a bounce back practice. And Cam Ward did with the three touchdowns in red zone, two in team. But Cordell Flott, it wasn't exactly impressive, inspiring, because he gave up some passes and he gave up some deep passes. So it was more of the same from Thursday night, which was, you know, I was hoping to see, like I said, a bounce back performance from him, and you just didn't get that on Saturday.
Yeah, and this isn't to say that Cordell Flott has been a liability the entire training camp and offseason so far. I think you've seen some good things out of Cordell Flott. I've noticed Cordell Flott a couple of times with sticky coverage in practice, and so it isn't publicized as much as Cam Ward's good days, but Cordell Flott has had good days too. Again, I think Thursday is going to end up being more of an outlier for Cordell Flott, but as a whole, the secondary did not look good. They were giving up way too many easy passes for a guy like Curtis Rourke and some of the receivers they had out there. Again, Stribling's going to be a good player, but I probably couldn't name any of the other guys who were out there on Thursday night for the 49ers. You would have expected your starting secondary to have a better showing. Doesn't mean it's going to be a disaster, but as Robert Saleh said, I think there is a sense of urgency of that wasn't good enough, and when the regular season rolls around, that kind of performance might get you beat.
Yes, and with this defensive line, you're hoping that with the rotation they run, they can get to the quarterback a lot faster, which would take a lot less pressure off the secondary. But there are going to be times where, you know, Jeffrey Simmons may not be out there. It may be one of the reps that he's off, and your defensive line is not able to get to the quarterback as much, and you need your secondary to be able to cover. And that's when it's important that guys like Cordell Flott don't give up big plays down the field. But the hope is that the strength of this defense is reliant upon your front seven. They're able to get to the quarterback quick, and that takes a lot of pressure off of Alante Taylor and Cordell Flott.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Trevor on the text line says, Flott last year, let's chill out. It's a screenshot from Twitter of lowest passer rating allowed when targeted last season. Cordell Flott was ninth in the league. So that's what I was saying. He's coming off his best year as a pro. In a contract year, you've got to hope that he's ascending, and it wasn't just a flash in the pan when he needed the big deal heading into free agency. That's all I'm saying. Again, he's coming off his best year, and he's young enough that you think there may still be more growth, more progression yet to come, but not a good first showing in front of the Titans fan base on Thursday in the preseason game against the 49ers. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to the phone lines. Vandy Clay is called in. Clay, thanks for calling. Good morning.
Jake, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Clay?
I have something for Parker off the top, if I can.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Parker, after you and Tony's little bit, I have one for you. So the Vandy-Tennessee football game in November, I have a Diego Pavia T-shirt that would look really good on you. So if Vandy wins, you go to breakfast and you wear that T-shirt for me.
See, it appears, Jake, that I'm just a hotbed for Vandy-Tennessee bets after the way the first one went. I made the announcement. I'm retiring from making bets on the air after the last one. I was too embarrassed.
Anyway, guys, I did watch a little bit of the game. I'll say this. If you're not going to be – I do think they're going to be better, but if you're not going to be a winning football team, you might as well look good. I love the community.
Yep, they looked great. That was, if there was a highlight of the night, I think that was probably it. The uniforms looked great on TV.
I assume that's going to be with a white jersey. I assume that's going to be the road uniform. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would guess they would rotate the pants and the combinations a little bit more than they did last year. Like last year, they had two sets of uniforms. It was white tops, light blue bottoms, or light blue tops, white bottoms. I would think they might mix those up a little bit more, and you might see the all whites, the all blues throughout the season.
What do you guys think about Cam? I think this is a really important year for him. He needs to show improvement. If he doesn't show improvement, then, you know, maybe that's when people say, well, he's not the guy. Would y'all agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a really important year for Cam Ward, and we've talked about it before, that he's going to get a longer leash because you picked him first overall, and Mike Borgonzi, basically his biggest move – and you have the number one pick, it's going to be one of your biggest moves at the very least, was taking him first overall and turning down that trade offer from the Giants. So they're going to give him every chance to succeed. So I don't think it's like a hot seat year for Cam Ward of like he's got to be elite or they're moving on. But I do think that he's got to start showing improvement for the Titans to really believe that he's going to be their franchise quarterback for a long time.
And Trubisky, you think, will be the backup?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, that's a given, 100%.
So are they going to try to trade Will Levis?
They're going to try to.
Who knows if they're going to find a trade partner, but they're going to try.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to get much for him, you know?
Yeah, based on what we've seen in practice in the preseason so far, I'm going to say that at best, you might get somebody saying, just to avoid the waiver process, they'll give you a seventh. Like, that's kind of what you're hoping for right now, which is basically what happened with Malik Willis, was Titans said they were going to cut him, and Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst in Green Bay basically said, hey, we're worried somebody's going to snag him on waivers in front of us. We'll give you a seventh-round pick to make sure we get him. I wonder if that might happen with Will Levis.
Yeah. Great show, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks for the call, Clay. We'll get into some Vandy stuff coming up later on. Clark Lee spoke over the weekend after Vandy's first scrimmage and says he's not ready to name a starting quarterback. We'll get into that and much more. There was also a podcast clip from The Athletic that has made the rounds among Vandy fans this weekend, and I wanted to push back on something Bruce Feldman had to say. We'll do that now. We're number two. We'll keep talking Titans on the other side. The top-end talent in the secondary is a concern for sure. The depth might be more of a concern. We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman live at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. Titans training camp continues. Practice coming up in just under 45 minutes. Titans getting set for week two of the preseason. The Seattle Seahawks, Super Bowl champs, coming to town Friday for joint practices, preseason game on Sunday night. We're going through the secondary here. Quickly before we get back into that, Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets for ESPN, put out there earlier that Breece Hall went down in practice with, he said, wasn't touched, non-contact. It seems like it was minor. Aaron Glenn says he thinks it's a strained groin, won't be a big deal. So something important there to note for the Titans' week one opponent, the Jets. Breece Hall, one of their more dynamic playmakers, seems like it's less serious than initially thought when the first tweet, it looked like maybe was going to be a season-ending injury. It said Breece Hall just goes down untouched. Strained groin is about as good of an outcome as you can have there if you're the Jets, Parker.
Oh, yeah, because when you hear something like that, you usually, the first thing you go to is an ACL or MCL or whatever.
Right.
It just seems like the amount of injuries that we're getting this year in the preseason, I can't remember a preseason like this. Just injuries galore around the NFL.
I know. Again, it's like maybe we're just forgetting from previous years and it's recency bias, but it does feel like there's been a ton of big-time injuries, whether it's season-ending or just missing a lot of time. Teams going to be without some key players early on in the year. Also saw some suspensions come down this week. James Pierce going to be suspended 8 games for the incident that occurred with his girlfriend, Rekia Jackson, former Lady Vol, and now with she's with the Sparks, I want to say, in the WNBA. So that was the big news for suspensions this weekend. Titans also had a player suspended. Nazee Johnson suspended for 6 games for violating the team's performance-enhancing drug policy. He did come out with a statement and said it was a fertility drug that he was taking that had a banned substance that he did not know about, but suspended 6 games. And we were just talking about the secondary at the top, the starters, and how concerned we are after their performance against the Niners and Curtis Rourke back on Thursday. The depth gets a little bit thinner after the Johnson suspension. Not that he was expected to play a huge role for this team, but behind those top guys, I'm not sure you feel all that confident in cornerbacks 4 through 6 and safeties 3 and 4 as well. And it just gets a little bit thinner with this news about Johnson.
Because once you get past your starters, Alante Taylor and Cordell Flott, it's guys like Micah Robinson and Josh Williams, who, by the way, still had the gold do not contact jersey on Saturday. Keydrain Callaghan, players like that who were undrafted free agents 2 years ago. So it is thin. Once you get past the starters, and from what you saw from the starters on Thursday night, again, it wasn't inspiring. It wasn't encouraging. So when you get past that and you get to the depth, it's just, it kind of is what it is. With the Nazia Johnson, there was no guarantees that he was even going to make the roster this year.
Right.
But obviously, it hurts losing depth pieces early on before the season even gets going.
Yeah, I don't even know if he makes the 53, but like when you look at the two deep here and you're starting five, we went through them in the last segment, Flott, Hooker, Winston, Taylor, Harris. On paper, you felt pretty good about it. I think that feeling is soured after the performance in Santa Clara. But the next five guys on the two deep, Keydrain Callaghan, Kendall Brooks, Tony Adams, Josh Williams, Jalen McMurray. I think Williams and Adams make you feel okay. I mean, Adams, again, familiar with the Salah system, played with him in New York. Williams, a Borgonzi guy that he helped draft, they brought in to be a depth piece. And I can include Michael Robinson in there as well, who showed some flashes. But man, if you're an injury or two away, which, again, you're not going to get through a full season with your entire starting secondary staying healthy, I do wonder if, no matter how good this front seven is, that secondary might be a liability throughout the season.
And it has been the last couple of years, especially last year. I mean, once you got towards the back half of the regular season, you were running a bunch of guys out there who were on your practice squad that you just picked up during the season. So you're hoping that it doesn't resort to that again this year. But yeah, the depth really across the roster outside of receiver and defensive line, I mean, it is a concern, not just with the secondary.
Yeah, I mean, just like Cam, we talked about on Friday, way too early to hit the panic button. We're going to see these guys continue to develop throughout the last few weeks of training camp and into the regular season. Guys are not going to be the same player they are right now in October, November. There's going to be development. There's going to be shaking off of the rust. There's going to be settling into new systems. But I do think there are valid concerns in the secondary about all five starters. Hooker, is he starting to decline as a player after last year? Winston, we still haven't really seen him healthy and consistent yet. You do have to see it before you can truly believe it. Taylor and Flott, both left more to be desired in their first preseason game on Thursday. And then Marcus Harris, a six-round rookie that you hope is going to develop, but you really just don't know. So there's valid concerns about all those guys, and the depth, of course, is an issue. The secondary turning into more of a weak spot than I thought. Again, too early to hit the panic button, but I think with what Robert Saleh said, there needs to be a sense of urgency because that group was not good enough last week.
I did like his answer, and I thought he answered well, talking about if you're just now developing that sense of urgency and we're, you know, halfway through the month of August, two more preseason games, and then it's go time with the regular season, then you're already late. And I think that these guys are truly, I don't think it's a work ethic issue or anything like that. It's just when they needed to perform in the preseason game on Thursday, you know, some guys didn't, but that doesn't mean they're not trying, but that's also expected when you're playing at this level professionally.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Keegan, we haven't heard from Keegan in a while. He texts in, when we say Taylor, Flott, Harris, it looks pretty good on paper. Is that in comparison to the rest of the league or to our roster last year? Yeah, probably to the roster last year, but I'm saying in terms of what you've invested in them. Like Hooker, you just signed to extension. Winston was a third-round pick that everybody thought would have gone higher if he wasn't injured. You spent big money on Taylor and Flott. They've raved about Harris. Like, in terms of what the coaching staff is saying and what you've put into that secondary, I think on paper, before you saw them on the field, it looks good. It's just it's got to all work together. And with Robert Saleh's defense, the front seven is important. That front four, that's where it starts. But you got to give those guys a chance to go hunt. And if you're not covering and you're not making it difficult on quarterbacks, it's going to be more difficult for those guys up front to go and get to the quarterback. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, Titans getting ready to hit the practice field in about 30 minutes. They will be without two players. Robert Saleh announcing on Saturday that Jaron Kanick, the seventh-round rookie out of Oklahoma, and Jalen Harrell, the depth defensive end, both out for the season. Harrell tears his ACL. Kanick tears his pec. We'll talk about those guys and who could possibly earn their spot on the 53 in their absence. We'll get to it coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel at 1025 The Game for live shows and exclusive content. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman live at Titans training camp. Under 30 minutes away from practice kicking off. Week two of the preseason coming up. Friday, joint practice with Seattle right here at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. And then on Sunday, first game in Nissan Stadium of the final season against Seattle to start the preseason home slate. Chicago comes in next week. Tough news on Saturday that we're going to get into here. Jaron Kanick and Jalen Harrell both injured and out for the season. Harrell tears his ACL. You could kind of see it on Thursday night. Parker, I'm sure you've seen the clip of the non-contact from Harrell where it was coming off the edge and it looked like just took a bad step, landed awkwardly, and that does it for your season. It's always tough to see those injuries happen where Harrell was a guy who has been improving steadily at 5.5 sacks last year, was expected to have a role this season, and now out for the year.
It is unfortunate because for a guy like that who, I mean, there's a lot of competition within that D-line room with the amount of guys they brought in to free agency and drafting Keldrick Falk, and he was one of those borderline guys. I don't think he was a guaranteed lock to make the 53, but there was still a good chance for him. And when you tear your ACL, it's just one of those injuries where you can tear your ACL doing almost anything. It doesn't have to necessarily be football related. Yeah. It's so unfortunate. And for a guy like that who's still on his rookie contract and so young, it's really tough to see.
Yeah, and I think he was being slotted in as the fifth guy at defensive end. You're going to keep probably 10 defensive linemen. Saleh likes to rotate these guys. And on the edge, Falk's going to make the team. Johnson's going to make the team. Martin's going to make it. And Femi's going to make it. I think those were your four. And everyone was pretty much slotting in Harrell as number five. He had 5.5 sacks last year and is, again, shown improvement year over year. I mentioned on Friday, one of the guys who stood out to me, who I really wasn't on my radar to make the team, Malik Herring, a six-year guy out of Georgia. I thought he looked good. He got his hands in the passing lanes once. He was able, I want to say he had a sack on Curtis Rourke or Adrian Martinez as well on Thursday night. I wonder if this injury maybe opens the door for him to be that fifth defensive end. And he's a bigger guy too, 6'3", 275, that can kind of play inside outside for you.
He certainly impressed me. There were a lot of depth pieces that, you know, I didn't really know of or you didn't really hear a whole lot about heading into the preseason that have impressed. You know, Malik Herring, definitely one of those guys. Colin Saunders, who TD talked about last Thursday, another one of those guys. I mean, you look throughout the roster, guys like, you know, flipping over to the offense, you know, Hank Beatty has been impressive. He's kind of had a Mason Kinsey-like impact. And Mason Kinsey, you know, has just found ways to stick around. So guys like that, you just got to look for, but they have stuck out in training camp so far.
Yeah, the defensive front's just going to be so crucial. And we just talked about the weaknesses of the secondary and a little bit of shakiness out there on Thursday night against San Francisco. You need that front four to be able to get after the quarterback and allow you to drop as many guys in coverage as you can. And not that Jalen Harrell is it's a devastating loss for that group. But it does take away another one of those bodies that I think Robert Saleh was going to trust to rotate in and out, wants to have a constant rotation of players on that front. And Harrell being out for the season, obviously, takes away an option for him. Again, I think you're going to see 10 guys on the defensive front make it. Falk, Johnson, Martin, Oladejo, Elliott, Franklin Myers, I would guess Jackie Marshall's going to make it, although we haven't seen much of him. He's been injured. Jeffrey Simmons, Solomon Thomas. I think that's nine. And then you're looking at maybe one, maybe two spots out there. You did mention Colin Saunders. TD mentioned him as somebody to take a look out for on Thursday against San Francisco. He did have a pretty big run stuff later on in that game, too. That's a big man, Colin Saunders. 6 foot, 324 on the interior of the offensive line.
He's even bigger, too, when you get out in person. But he made a play, I think it was in the fourth quarter in the preseason game versus San Francisco. And
yeah,
I immediately thought of TD because when we were talking about, you know, under-the-radar guys that can make an impact, both of us were talking about Femi, and I think we talked about Hank Beatty on the offensive side, and TD says Colin Saunders. So when he made a play, I immediately thought of TD, and, yeah, he's been solid out there at training camp.
Yeah, TD, I agree with you. We were thinking more like under the radar, but also kind of on your radar, I guess, would be the best way to say it. Like, yeah, they're not the starters, they're not the superstars, but you know about him. He brought up Colin Saunders, and he did make a play on Thursday. So the defensive line, still one of the deeper positions on the team, but Harrell being out for the season hurts that depth a little bit. And Jaron Kanick also out for the year, the rookie tight end out of Oklahoma. I expected him to be a pretty big piece on special teams for Bones Fossil, given his background as a linebacker. Felt like he was going to play a role there, now out for the year with the torn pec. Maybe opens the door for some of those other guys in the tight end room. I think David Martin Robinson was going to contend for a spot anyway. It was just dependent on whether they kept three or four tight ends. And then I guess Kylan Granson also, you can put him back on the radar as a guy who could make the team. Has plenty of experience playing in the NFL, but I think was on the outside looking in before this injury to Kanick.
And they just signed a tight end over the weekend. Yesterday they signed Matt Latour, I think is how
Matt,
you say it.
Yeah, Lauder, something like that. Yeah,
out of Boise State. Yeah, rookie. So, David Martin Robinson's one of those guys that is just he's very gifted athletically, and he's been given several opportunities in practice. Sometimes got some runs with the ones when they go to, you know, multiple tight end sets. But when the games come around, he's primarily used on special teams, doesn't get a lot of run with the offense. Your top two are going to be set, obviously, with Gunnar Helmet and Daniel Bellinger. But once you get past that, yeah, Kanick was a guy that I believe was going to make the roster just because of his impact on special teams. But, you know, you have other guys like Joel Wilson who plays special teams and David Martin Robinson. That's going to be an interesting conversation to have when we get down to the cuts.
Yeah, again, these injuries, you never want to see season-ending injuries for anybody, and these aren't devastating for this team, right? Like, there are a few players I think you can point to and say, if they go down, this season could go even further south real quickly. But I do think that depth was really important at those two positions, tight end and on the defensive front, and this certainly hurts that with Harrell and Kanick being out for the year. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 7410 on the text line, getting back to Cam Ward here, says, do either of you guys remember what the word on Josh Allen was at the beginning of his year two? At this point in his career, had he already shown flashes of being a franchise quarterback or not really? I know there are real differences between Cam and Allen. Allen has the elite arm and athleticism that Cam does not, but just curious how the two quarterbacks compare early on. I mean, we went back through, and Adam Vingan helped us find the preseason openers for Josh Allen, and they weren't good. That's irrelevant, though. It really doesn't matter. His first 2 years, though, he had a sub-60% completion percentage. In 2018, it was 53%, had more interceptions than touchdowns as a rookie. It wasn't good. Then in 2019, 59%, so better, but still under 7 yards per attempt. He did cut down on the turnovers. And then you saw that big jump in year three. He raised the completion percentage 10 percentage points up to 69%, had 4,500 yards, 37 touchdowns, 10 picks. It was year three where he really went from flashes but still not consistent enough to, okay, this guy might be a superstar. Again, it's asking a lot of Cam Ward to become Josh Allen, right? Like, Josh Allen is widely regarded as one of, if not the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. It's asking a lot. But you do have the same coordinator who helped him get there with Brian Daboll, and you see similarities in the way that they play. Hunting the big plays, not always taking what's given to you. If Brian Daboll can change the mindset for Cam Ward like I think he was able to with Josh Allen, that's going to fix a lot of things. Josh Allen, the one thing coming out of Wyoming that everyone looked at, it was like, he's super inaccurate. Yeah, he's got the big arm. Yeah, he's got the big frame. He's athletic. He can run. But he had like a 51% career completion percentage at Wyoming, and it didn't look better in his first year, year and a half in the league. That's when it started to grow. I think you're hoping to see the same trajectory with Cam Ward under Brian Daboll, that he's going to start taking those easier plays, and that will allow him to be a more consistent quarterback. So I would say they probably were in a similar spot narrative-wise heading into year two between Josh Allen and Cam Ward. We'll see if Cam Ward can take the jump that we saw from Josh Allen about midway through year two.
There are a lot of similar things, too, with just the development. Josh Allen was more of a raw prospect coming out of Wyoming. He had a lot more that he needs to work on that Cam Ward does. You know, Cam Ward still has a lot to work on, but just, you know, from a fundamental perspective, I mean, they had to mess with Josh Allen's throwing motion a ton because it was pretty bad when he was coming out of Wyoming. They had to tie that together with his footwork, and I think that's what they're trying to do with Cam Ward, at least behind the scenes. We may not be privy to that information at practice. And also, too, you know, what you talked about, the accuracy issues, the taking the easy play, and when you have to put on the cape, you can, but you don't have to do that all the time. And they're surrounding him with more pieces from a weapons standpoint so that he can just trust his playmakers down the field, which I think will help a ton.
Right. And the Josh Allen comparison is obvious just because of Brian Daboll. And because some of the issues they dealt with as a rookie were the same, that doesn't mean he's going to be Josh Allen. You still have to have the talent. You still have to – and we think he has the work ethic. We've seen that on plenty of accounts, and that seems to be what everybody's is. Cam has the want to be great and the willingness to do the work to get there. We've got to see more of the field from him. But, yeah, if you're comparing Josh Allen, Cam Ward, and what the thought was of them heading into year two, I would say the narrative was probably pretty similar about those two players heading into their second season. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get into more Titans. Again, they're about to hit the practice field coming up in a little over 15 minutes. We'll give you updates throughout practice with fans out here today. But did want to talk some Vanderbilt. I was out there at their scrimmage on Saturday. Heard Clark Lee speak on his two quarterbacks, Jared Curtis, Blaze Berlewitz, what they've been able to do, and still need some more time to make a decision. We'll talk about that. And also, the narrative around Vanderbilt right now from some of the national media members I think is hilarious, and there was a podcast clip I wanted to get to. We'll do all of that coming up in hour number two, plus more Titans as we are live from Titans training camp. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game.